Where we were last week, just to recap, is that we had started Perek Chafdal Shmuel Bet, the last Perek of Shmuel. We've done a Perek of Aleph, which is the story of the Givonim and the injustice done to them and the famine that happened in those days. I skipped two Perekim. We'll come back to those. I'm going to the next narrative, which is the story of the census. And it starts with Yosef Af Hashem L'Charopi Yisrael. It starts with, and God became even more angry with Israel. And Rashi says, we don't know why. We don't know, we don't have any mention of any kind of sin. And what happens by Yasret David, by him, and so Hashem entices David by making David do the following line. Mark to say, Lech make Israel and Yudah, go count Israel and Yudah. Hello, Chana.
So this is instructions from Hashem.
Well, it's not even instruction. God's not telling David to do the census. David's going to come up with this out of his own mind. But Hashem is the one who put it there. It's by Yasset to entice. It's seduced into doing this. And counting Jews is a bad idea. And this ends up with a plague that kills 70,000. And what's striking is at the end of this plague, it's very easy to see this in the parallel in Divrei Yamim, that, you know, over here, at the end of this plague, that Hashem sends this vision of a malach, a giant angel with a big sword that's going to wipe out Yerushalayim. And this is the puzzle we quote in the Seder. Sa'ad David et enav, and David lifts up his eyes, v'yard malach Hashem omed, and he sees the angel of God standing ben ha'aretz v'ven ha'shamayim, between heaven and earth. V'chabosh v'chav v'yado nitiyah Yerushalayim. The sword unsheathes his hand, hanging over Yerushalayim. And then by Paul David, and then David falls down and says, please don't destroy everything. And Hashem says, you know, I'm not destroying, but that place where that malach is pointing with his sword, that's pointing at the threshing floor of Arnon, that's going on, that's where you're going to build the Mizbeach, that's where you're going to build the Beit Mikdash. And that's where it ends. And then at the end of this whole parak, David builds a Mizbeach, builds an altar right there. Now this is, again, this is outside of here, David, outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Vayatar Hashem la'aretz, and Hashem listens to the prayers of the land, but Tehasar make a father plague and the Mount Israel. Plague is over. So we have this very straight. You have this, God's angry with Bnei Israel, makes David take a census as a punishment for the census. There's a plague, and at the end of this plague, Hashem tells him, here's where you're going to build the Beit HaMikdash. And we interpret this with a midrash that the Rambam quotes. Let's put this here. Midrash Shochar Tov, it says that what this was that the metaphor is nice. Mashal davar domeh, what's this like? The chachi makel divno, someone who was spanking his child. The son had no idea why he's being spanked. Then after he says, you should do this thing that I told you to do before. And that's what he's being spanked for. Some kind of connection there. Not that I would ever do that to my children, to spank them without telling them what was about, but said this is the same thing. That Hashem is angry at Israel. Why? We don't know that till the end of the story. When Hashem says, finally, go build the Beit HaMikdash here. Build the altar here. It says that why is Hashem angry? That Bnei Israel didn't try to build the Beit Midash, which doesn't make any sense because David wanted to build Beit Midash and Hashem said not to. So we talked about the reason. Why was David told not to build the Beit Midash? And lots of reasons are given. The original reason by Natan was that that Hashem is going to make a dynasty for him. He needs a dynasty, he needs a successor. Before he can build the Beit Midrash, and his son will build the Beit Midrash. We have the words from where his description in Divrei Yamim says, "Ki dam l'rov shafachta, you spilled much blood, and you had all these wars. That's why you can't build the Beit Midrash." We quoted the Yalkut Shimoni that says, The reason why David couldn't build the Beit Hamikdash, because he had collected all the money to build it. He held his gold and silver, seeing his storehouses. And when the famine came, he refused to open the storehouses. He said, no, that's all set aside for the Beit Hamikdash. I can't give it to the people who need it. His priorities was building, not with the people. And we said that was all really part of the same thing. That the requirement for building the Beit Hamikdash, the Pasuk says, is you need to have peace from the enemies around you, which David had achieved, but you also needed v'yashavtem betach. People need to live securely. They need to be living in a society where there were laws, there were rules, there was a mamlacha of mishpat tzedaka, as David would eventually form. And that's the way Yeshaya puts it, talking about the next Beit Hamikdash. What are we waiting for? This is the last parak of Yeshaya. Gomar Hashem, shimru mishpat v'asu tzedakah. Hashem says, you need to do justice and righteousness and charity. Because my salvation is close to come. It's in Kehilat, my justice will be revealed. And then we have Yotima Harkochi. Then I will bring them to my mountain, holy mountain. They will come to my house of prayer. And I will accept their sacrifices. But then my house will be a house of tefillah for all nations. And that's what the Beit Hamikdash needs to be. It's how, it's not so much a building, it's a representation of Hashem's rule on earth. So it needs to be part of a society that is mishpat tzedakah. And that's the way we understood of what it meant that Hashem's angry that they didn't build the Beit Hamikdash. Not that they didn't put a building, not that they didn't try to build it, but they didn't create the kind of society where it was possible to build the Beit Hamikdash. She has been telling them over and over again, this is what you have to do. And they're just not listening. So the way the Ramban puts it on this, the Ilu Hayush Yisrael Chafetzim Debadabar, and Israel really wanted it. And if they were inspired to build the Beit Hamikdash, then Nase may be Me'achad Mishroftim, then it could have been done way back with the time of Shroftim, in the days of Shaul, David, or in the days of David himself. If Bnei Israel as a whole had gotten their act together, then it wouldn't be David. David's not going to build it by himself. He can't do that. It's got to be Bnei Israel as a whole.
But there's no guarantee still that if Bnei Israel want a Beit HaMikdash, like today, they want a third Beit HaMikdash, and they sing songs, we want Mashiach now, we want Mashiach now. But if we don't, I don't know who's going to provide feedback for, are we a just and...
right, that's a good question.
Benevolent enough society to qualify. With enough tzedakah umishpat handed out both hands evenly to enough volume to say we qualify.
I don't know the answer. That's a good question, right? Do we need a Navi right now to say it's time?
No, but if the Navi would say it's time, the people would say, let's go hire a construction company. They don't understand that tzedakah and mishpat is tied to it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's
they didn't right. then, and they don't now. First. They that's sing songs. We want Mashiach now. We want Beit HaMikdash now. But there's nothing connecting to tzedakah and mishpat.
I think you're right. I think that's exactly what it needs. That's what it needs to be. I think that's the lesson of this parak here. That Hashem's angry with them because they haven't. They haven't gotten to the point of really building the Beit Hamikdash. And that's got to be what you need to do. So we need to build, if you want to put it into contemporary terms, which I'm hesitant to do, right? We need to build Israeli society to be a kind of tzedakah mishpat. I don't think they're doing terrible. They need a little more stability, right? That's part of it.
Yishavtem betach, we certainly don't have with... The right. government has to have four elections in 2 years.
Right. So I think we're not there, right? We're getting there. Don't have to worry about Iran. But you need the Yeshavtem Betach part, the domestic stability. as well.
No, but also the judgment, the I think the Haredim are asking for way too much before and during this government negotiations.
Well, I hesitate to say anything about contemporary politics. I agree with you completely.
And you're recording.
And we're recording, right? So anything you say is on the internet forever.
So I better shut up.
So we're gonna look at not at contemporary politics, but at ancient Israelite politics. There's plenty of politics then too. There were still Jews. But the Ramban continues that the problem with David, who had just gone and built it, and Yahuwah Bonev, but David builds it without this kind of society, all B'nai Israel behind him, who ish mishpat u'machazik b'midat din, it would be a building of din, imposed. Lo hukshar b'beit ha-rabbi t'rachamim, and that's not appropriate, where the Beit Midash needs to be represent rachamim, Avet Yisrael, Avet Abriot, of everybody. And I want to connect that to something that Rav Dessler says in Michtav Meliyahu. Similar idea, but what it takes to build the Beit HaMikdash. What's going wrong in this parak? Hashem says, no, this is wrong, and punishes them by making David take a census. That's where we have to connect it to. And this is another Yaakov Shimoni talking about why David is not building the Beit Midrash. It gives another reason entirely. The public says, Hatatib Neldi Bayit. Shem asks, do you want to build me a house? Tiv lo tivne bayit l'shmi. Hidamim rabim lo shafachta artsar lefanai. All right, you will not build this house because you have spilled all this blood. And it said, this is David's interpretation of what's going on. Kevat Shema David kach nityare. As soon as David heard this, he was afraid. Amar said, said, look, I'm puzzled. I can't build the Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Huda bar Elai, Amar lo kash baruch. Hashem answers him, David al tirad. David, don't worry. This isn't all about you. It's not your fault. Chayecha, by your life. This blood you spilled is like you had slaughtered animals. You had shechted them kosher. V'hachne amar shafakta artsa. You spilled it on the ground in Arza El Tzviva Ayel, and that's the way the Torah describes how to shecht an animal. Shenemart Bechalta Basak at Tzviva Ayel, Racha Dama Lotzochelu, Eretz Tishbechera Kamayim. You'll spill it out. So that, don't worry, I'm not really upset about all the wars you fought, the blood you spilled. It was like shechting animals for me. And Debaracher, another way of looking at it, more than that. Chayecha, Hashem says, by your life. Heim lefanek karbono. Actually, those are like, you were serving me. That was part of Yevodat Hashem. These words you fought. It's like a karbon. Ketiv ki damim rabim shafachta lefanai, because you spilled all this blood before me. It was lefanai. It was before me. Heim lefanai ela karbon. That's a sacrifice. It says, v'shachat et haberakar lifnei Hashem, before God. Hashem is telling David, I'm not upset about the wars, the blood you spilled. That was for a mitzvah purpose. It was fine. Amar lo. So David says back to Hashem, Im kein laman eni bone oto. So then why can't I build the Beit Midash? Amar lo karish baruch hu, she'im ata bone oto, u'kayam ve'eno charev. Because if you build it, David, Hashem says, it will exist forever. It will never be destroyed. Amar lo. David says back. Ariyafeh, that sounds like a great thing. Wait. I can't build it because it'd be so good it'll never be destroyed. That sounds good. Amar lo karish baruch hu, so Hashem says back. Galui v'tzafui l'fanai. I can see. Shehem atidim l'chato. The Bnei Yisrael aren't perfect. They will sin. Ani mafik chamati bo macharibo. And I will throw my judgment, my anger on this building, and I will destroy the building, v'heinas l'inim will save Bnei Israel. Shein ketuv, it says, v'oel batzion shafach echal esh chamato, that Hashem destroyed his tent, his oel, and that he spent all his anger on the building. Amar lo karish baruch hu, chayecha. By your life. Since you want so much to build it, even though your son Shlomo will build it, it will be recorded in your name. It says, Mashiach Chanukah by David. So they're just telling us that, well, David can't build the Beit HaMikdash because it wouldn't be destroyed. And since B'nai Israel aren't perfect, so I'm getting angry with them, better that the building be destroyed than B'nai Israel be destroyed as a whole. We see something similar with Moshe. And go back. Why is Moshe not going to Eretz Israel? Fundamentally, it wasn't his fault. He was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was perfect because of Israel. He wasn't the leader that they needed. And this is the Gemara in Sota, Derash Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Ma'ariv Ktiv, Pasuk says, Ranu Tzadikim ba Hashem, Layasharim Navat Tila, that the Tzadikim praise God, and the Nava, literally the beauty, it will be a praise. Al Tikre Navat Tila, El Nave Tila. Don't say beauty, but say the Nave, the shelter. There's a term used for the Beit HaMikdash. Zem Moshe David. Those are the Tzadikim, are Moshe and David. So shall tu so nehem b'masehem, that their enemies had no power over what they did. What Moshe built, what David built, would last forever. And that's a problem. Moshe is told he can't go into Eretz Israel, and he tells B'nai Israel, he can't be itanach Hashem biglachem, that God was angry with me because of you. But the word there really isn't because, it's biglal, because it's it for your sake. And Achona Pia Dibrahim, that the Arachim says that what this means is it should be understood according to what Chazal said. She'im hayat nichnas Moshe la'aretz. If Moshe had led them into Eretz Israel, who boya nebeit midash, if Moshe had built the Beit Midash, lo yabayit necharav, it would never have been destroyed. Moshe would have built a perfect Beit Midash that would last forever. She'in umav lashon no gadba, no other nation could touch it. And when Moshe said, when the pasuk says, Mizmersh, Mizmur la Asaf il kim bo goyim benachlatcha, that's a song of Asaf. O Lord, the nations have come into your inheritance. Timut heichal kochecha, they have profaned your holy halls. Samut Yerushalayim le'iyim, they've turned Yerushalayim to ruins. This is what the Gemara says about that. That's called a mizmar, a song. Why is it called a song? Kina mivayla. It should have been a lamentation, a kina. It's a mizmor because Hashem took his anger out on sticks and stones and not on the people. From here you can see if Moshe had actually gone in, he had built the Beit Midash, and then Hashem ishlicham ato alav, lo efshar, then Hashem would not have sent his anger against the building. Hashem would have wiped out Israel. They would have wiped out instead of the Bayit. And general understanding of that by Moshe and similarly by David is that the leader has to not just be perfect, but has to be someone who leads. Someone who represents the people, gets the people to reach their potential. So here too, Hashem's telling, you know, David, at this point, at the end of the Sefer, you could build a Beit Midash. You've learned it. It would be a wonderful Beit Midash. It would be perfect. But it wouldn't be the Beit Midash of B'nai Israel. And it would continue to exist, and B'nai Israel would go on their way. They would keep sinning, and they'd eventually be wiped out. And you still have this wonderful building standing there. You can't do that. The problem isn't so much with you. It's you as the ruler of this nation here, you haven't achieved your potential. You're not influencing them. So this is the way Rav Jethro of Micha of Eliyahu, Volume 2 says, "Michtan lamanu." So here we see, "She'ilu nidne Beit Midash kazeh, she'eno yachol echerev," that if the Beit Midash had been built by David, that didn't represent Klal Yisrael as a whole, "Hayta sakana v'katerov," chas v'shalom Klal Yisrael. It would have been actual danger. It would be like a prosecuting attorney for the rest of Israel, for the rest of Bnei Israel. Lama v'chach, why is that true? Hider ha'inyan, the definition of this whole idea, who should call a mishamish b'tur kli, that anything that is used, I'm translating as a tool. That the holiness of the tool has to be proportion, has to be correspond to the one who's using it. The holiness of this tool is higher than the one who's using it. That the mismatch is going to end up destroying all the holiness here, that will end up being this is nonstop accusation against the user. Like, you're not meeting the standards of this tool. That effectively it's like giving a radial arm saw to a 3-year-old. It's far too dangerous. That the one who's using it isn't at the level of the Kedusha, that Hashem sees, okay, here's this wonderful Beit HaMikdash, here's Bnei Israel, they don't deserve this thing. They're not a quick feet, Kedusha Tova, extra a toe. It's not at the level of holiness, it's not reaching the potential that they should be. And the inevitable outcome is, either the tool is destroyed, or when using it will be destroyed. But we could have done it if they created a relationship of Ava. That's what a relationship of did. That's what happened. But an Ava is more, it can overcome that. When Israel had, we had this relationship of Ava with each other, then they could have built the Beit HaMikdash. Hari lamanu, shekol, it's re'uta dilatata. Heard that term before? Literally awakening from below. Very Kabbalistic idea. That any that inspiration from human beings, in Ba'aretz, it's re'uta dela'ela. It brings about an inspiration from above. That if we do the right thing, Hashem will respond to it. V'yachas b'neim, k'ben choro shel machlo, p'tichos shel ulam. And the relationship between that is like the eye of a needle to the opening of a hall. We know that the famous metaphor of pitchuli petach chuto shel machak ani eftach lachem petach pitcho shel ulam. That if you open up this tiny opening like the eye of a needle, Hashem will open up opening the size of the ulam of the Beit Midrash itself. Kluma riva rivot hamim 10,000 times more. This shows us God's great mercy. How the team of Bolim is Hashem's unlimited mercy. So if we just do this little bit, like this, the eye of a needle, the culture came. Acting in chesed, if we do act with chesed here on earth, Hashem will act with chesed 1,000 times more. The mela avodat ha'avot kedoshim, just like the avot acted with shehit chasto im konam b'mida aliyit, that acted with chesed with an incredible measure. V'avru al midotahem b'li gavu b'kitz, and overcame their own natures. By far, b'zeh zachu shehem shem itbarach yadgil chasto k'negdam. So Hashem had chesed on them. Had mercy on them, and then had pity on their descendants, on so-called Roach, so all the generations. And it says, Osa chesed alafim, lo vayosh remeinu sotayim. Shem does chesed for 1,000 generations. If we do a little bit of chesed, Shem will continue on for 1,000 generations. So, af as, af im yilchku abanim, ad kedei chiyuv, korban chas v'shalom. So, if their children will sin and Hashem will punish them, wipe them out. If Sharlo Yitbarach Labor Midotav, Hashem will look past it. We'll go past His own judgment. Umkol Hashem will forgive them. That's Hashem's great chesed, your great mercy. But Narachamim Usiat Shemaya, that Hashem will give us mercy and help from above. Al Peimo Nimul Mat Chesed Avod 1,000 times. That's the Chud Avot from their ancestors. But now with David, Ken Indian Khan. So that's true here. This is all from the Talmud. David HaMelech Alav Hashon. David could have built this Beit HaMikdash, this Beit HaMikdash, Bichinat Ahava, from the standpoint of Ahava. With Midat Ahava, that we had this wonderful society together, Then there will be nothing wrong. Because it would not, even if Bnei Israel didn't necessarily deserve to have this building, it would be terrible. Even if they don't deserve Beit Midash. Because this little bit of Ava from below, David, that would have been inspired by David. That Hashem would have had the same Ava for us, would have overcome the Midat Hadin, and it would not listen to the accusations anymore, would have let it go. So we see from one point of view, David was at an incredibly high level. So Beit Midash Shalom, Yakayam, La'olam. That if he could have built the Beit Midash, it would have lasted forever. And therefore, since Bnei Israel were inevitably going to sin, so they, Hashem said, no, you can't build this Beit Midash. That's not what Bnei Israel need. That reflects David's level. That's wonderful. But from the other point of view, Ashmat David, it's still David's fault. But Davar, his level is still his fault. So we got a little bit further. Could have gotten this Beit Midash built from a perspective of Ava, not imposed, but everyone acting together. I'd say that Yachol did note of where Yisrael Beit Midash that he could have built with Bnei Yisrael Beit Midash, lo yicharav la'olam, without being destroyed, li sheyeh chashash b'davar, without any concern of it reflecting badly on Bnei Yisrael. Zebiyur Masha Ketav Ramban, this explains what the Ramban said. Ramban said, we quoted him, David lo bana Beit Midash, mishum she'achaz miyat adin. That's what it means, that David didn't build it because he represented din in this case. And that's what the Mim Rabim Shafakta meant. Even though they were like the Karban, still, the Koma there was din and that it couldn't last. So that's all introduction. That's still getting the first pasuk. We're saying that's what Hashem was angry at Bnei Israel for. And what Hashem is angry at David for, and Hashem that his punishment for lack of Ava was the census. And everyone knew that the census was a mistake. You can't count Jews. Hashem says, David says, okay, I really want to count all my population, all these people in my country, and continuing on our parak, Vayomar HaMelech El Yoav, Tzar HaChayel, and so he tells Yoav and Tzriya, who's a general, Asher Ito, who's with him, Shot Na B'chol Shivta Yisrael, go spread out among all the tribes of Israel, Midan Ba'Ber Sheva, north to south, Pekduot Am, and count the people. Yati et mispar ha'am, and so I will know how many there are. Vayomer Yoav ha'melech, Yosef ha'shem lokech et ha'am kahen v'kahen, mea panim. Yoav says, may God multiply them over 100 times. V'nei adoni ha'melech ra'ot, and while you are watching this, may they continue to increase. V'nei ha'melech, but my lord, the king, lemachafet b'devar zeh, why do you want to do this? It's just a bad idea. Trust me, there are lots of Jews. Chavei Hashemayim. They'll continue to thrive. You don't need to count them. V'chazak davar ha'melech al Yoav al sarei ha'chayel, but the David insists, pushes Yoav and all the rest of his people, all the rest of his officers, v'yitzei Yoav al sarei ha'chayel, v'chazak davar ha'melech al Yoav al sarei ha'chayel, et Yisrael, so they go out and they count the people. The question is, why is it so bad to count? Why is that the punishment for this lack of Ahavma among the people? And the answer is the Torah says it is. We go back to Parshat Kitisa, when it talks about how to do a census right. You do the machatz the shekel, everyone gives over their half of a shekel, they're used to buy the karbanot. It says, Israel, when you want to count B'nai Israel, you know, lift up the heads of Israel, who they have according to their numbers. The new ish kofar nafsho, everyone needs to give an atonement for their lives. Bifkorotam, when they're being counted. So there should not be any kind of plague bifkorotam when they're counted. So this is what everyone who's being counted should give. Machatzita shekel, half shekel, b'shekel kodesh. Eshrim b'yah shekel, machatzita shekel is 20 gerah, whatever that is. Half a shekel, truma l'shem, a gift for God.
Isn't there a Gemara that says that there's no bracha on things that are counted, like money that's counted?
Yes. So that's the idea that, you know, you can't count, you know, your money and then say, Hashem, please double it.
Right.
So I'm not going to do that.
So that's the answer. But the response is there's no blessing on that, which is visible to the eye.
But this is deeper than that. Not just there's no bracha, right? Yoav says it may be increased, but right. But if you count it, it's not going to increase because then we'll have a number. But here it's b'yabahem negev, right? If you don't do it right, there's going to be a plague. It's worse than, it's not going to be a bracha.
I don't know, but it seems connected, like the underlying concept of...
I agree.
Of defining limits to things. And it's especially bad when you define limits to people.
Why is it bad to count people? That's the question we'll get.
Right, no, I'm just saying, I think it's the extension of the concept is that there's something negative in putting numbers to things and limiting things.
And limiting things, right. In other words, yeah, especially limiting people, right?
Right, especially limiting people.
What?
Especially with people.
Especially with people, right. Not so bad counting your, you know, sheaves of grain or beanie babies.
I believe in it with time. If you count up your time to this, if you just don't count your time so carefully, there's always enough time.
Good luck.
That is how I did it last year. I just said, this is what needs to get done. And there's not enough minutes in the day, but clearly there are 25 hours in a day because that's how it works.
Okay, I'll get back to that.
Keep going.
Right. With the plague part of it, right? That Hashem says, you got to count them or there will be a negev for plague. To minyan, as Rashi says, to minyan, so late bo ayin hara, that counting it gives you the idea of ayin hara. I think it's part of the idea of putting limits on it. But deber ba alehem, and then deber, plague, disease comes on them. Kamosha batsim be David, and that's exactly the story that happens in our story here. That it counts them, and then the deber, there is a plague. And to explain that, I'm going to cite Rabbi Eli Baruch Shulman, who's Rosh Yeshiva YU, he's Rabbi Shulman's brother here. He gave a Musar Bat to St. Louis Cole on March 12, 2020. Now he gave this Musar Bat on Zoom. So I don't have a transcript, so I have to summarize it. We have to remember why is it important that he gave this on March 12, 2020 on Zoom. Anyone remember March of 2020? This was...
just the start of COVID.
This was the start of the pandemic. So he starts out, it was on Zoom because that's where we're doing things. And he actually started out saying to the Kollel that he hopes this works. He's never heard of this Zoom thing before. Hope this works because the yeshiva just shut down. YU had just shut down. All the classes are going to be on Zoom from now on. So this was his trial run of trying to give a shiur on Zoom. And he's talking about Parsha Kitisa and about plagues. And the point he makes is that human beings are social animals. Why is a plague bad? Because Hashem doesn't judge us as isolated individuals, because we're never isolated individuals. Right, the machatzita shekel is something that protects from plague. Why is that? Rabbi Shulman says the plagues are a natural consequence of crowds. These can't spread unless people are interacting with each other. Right, again, speaking of the very beginning of the COVID pandemic, so we know exactly what that means. Right, if people interacting that leads to pandemic spreading, it's not so much it's not so much the counting that brings the plague, it's the kind of crowds conditions of having a population large enough. If you aren't counting, now you end up subject to plagues that are going to come through over and over again. But he says there are two kinds of crowds. You can form a mob, an afsafsu, unthinking mass of humanity, a herd. And herds are susceptible to communicable diseases. But you can also form a tzibur, which is a community, where everyone has their role and everyone cares about everybody else, everyone interacts with everybody else. Each person maintains their individuality, their bechira chofshit, their individual free will, they make their own decision and accept the responsibilities for other members of the tzibur. And that's what the machatzita shekel symbolizes. it's a half. We'll talk about the time because it's got to go with other somebody else. You're not complete without others, and it provides a korban tzibur of all of us coming together. So as long as our senses makes us a tzibur, then we're protected from the negev. That's what the Matzia Shekel symbolizes. Because the point of a good census is to count names, not numbers. That's being by Midbar, right? Shem counts everybody, they all get together in Rosh Mashir. They're all arranged by their families. Literally the numbers of names. That's what the census is. And the Ketav Kabbalah says, Bispar Shemot, we translated wrong. It's not the number of names. Ein b'mispar lashon minyan. That don't read mispar as the number. Ki'im lashon haggadah, the story. It's a sipur of the Shemot. It's the story of everybody's name. That's what you got to count. Right? An example, Yishmo Gidon et mispar chalom, we told the story. Or to Buddha Toe et mispar, one cannot explain God's greatness. That's what mispar Miriam means. It's from the root of this poor, is to recount in English as opposed to count. She'inyanam hotzeit debriya b'chli matbea, that we're gonna get a list. Everyone's gonna have a story be told with each individual coin. The time is Mispar Shemot, but Gadat Shemot. That the Mispar Shemot, the number of names, is really the story of their name. Kol Echad Yigia Shemot. Everyone would say who they are. That's what a census has to be. So the way we're looking at this Perek, David the king, David has Mishpat and Tzedakah. We've gotten to that point. The people are not. They're still in the mindset that led to the famine of Perek Chafala. And there's a famine for 3 years of the Givonim, as the Malbim put it, they were not caring about the Gerim. The poor were being oppressed. No one cared for their tears. That's why God is angry. And that's what it means to say, B'nei Yisrael lo tavu binyan beit mikdash. They couldn't create the sort of society that was created with Ahava, that would allow them to create a tzibur that would allow the Beit HaMikdash to be built. So Hashem punishes them basically by making them public. If you're not going to be a tzibur, you're going to just be a number. You are going to have a census where you're just a number.
It's interesting the parallel there that the other time they counted by Machatzit HaShekel was used to build the Beis HaMikdash. That the Machatzit HaShekel, the proper counting, is what enabled building the Mishkan.
Yes, that is exactly right. That it's not the counting that's a problem, it's doing it in a way that turns people into just numbers. We keep it as
right. It's just interesting that this is literally the counting is what enabled it last time. That they used the Machatzit HaShekel for the Mishkan.
Build it. That the original Machatzit HaShekel was what went into the Adanim, the base of the Mishkan. That's what held the whole Mishkan up.
Literally. Right. Literally.
Literally. That's holding it up, yes. And so that's exactly what we're where we read this parak. So to finish off for today, that they create the they do the census, right? Yoav knows it's a bad idea, but he's gonna do it anyway. By Ruat Yarden, so they or people they cross the Jordan, Bechnu Baro Er, you mean a ear, they go south from south of your era, Sher Betocha Nachal, Haged, Bel Yazer, between the Wadi Haged to Yazir, I don't know where these places are, but they're going from one, this is on the other side, the east side of Jordan, by Boa Gilada, they go north into Gilad, Tachtim, Chanshi, other places, by Abo Dan, they cross over into Dan in the north, Ya'an, the Saviv El Sidon, they go as far north as Sidon in modern Lebanon, by Omid Sartsar, Bechor Rei Achiviv, Akhani, they go through all the cities of the Kanani who were in the north. By Tzul and Negev Yehudah, they go all the way back down south into the Negev, all the way down to Beersheba. By Shetu B'chol Arts, they spread out in the whole land. By Vo Mikzei Tisha Chodeshim V'Esrim Yom Yerushalayim. They come back after 9 months, 20 days. They have done their census, however they've counted. Everybody they count. By Ten Yoav Mispar Mifkada Amel Mel. And Yoav gives the number of the census, a from the people to the king, to Israel, Shmona Meot Elef Ish, Ishchayel, Shalech Cherev, and there were 800,000 in Israel, men who could bear a sword. Ish Yudah, Chamesh Meot Elef Ish, and then from Yehuda, again, part of that sign that they're not united is the fact they still consider Yisrael and Yehuda separate, even though it's one country. So the 800,000 in Yisrael and 500,000 in Yehuda, David now has his number. Great. Interesting that the numbers are different in Divrei Yamim. The parallel text in Divrei Yamim says, "Vayten Yoved Mispar Mifkara Amma David," Yoav gives the number, "V'yikol Yisrael Elef Alafim Umeya Elef Ish." That there's 1,000,000 and 100,000, 1.1 million in Israel, and 470,000 Yehuda. The big difference is there's a missing 300,000 in Israel. There's an extra in Divrei Yamim. And it adds, Levi ben Yamin lo pakad b'tocham. And Yoav didn't count, tribe Levi didn't count ben Yamin. Because Yoav was very unhappy with what the king did. He didn't bother counting Levi and Binyamin. And the way the Midrash puts it about this difference, how do you explain the difference between Divrei Yamim and Shmuel in the numbers? And talking about Medrash and Bidra Rabbah, talk about the census in the time of David, and says, and notice that the wording there is redundant. What do you mean the number of the census? In mispar lama mifkar, mifkar lama mispar, if I'm talking about census, why say the number of the census? Just say the census. El asa shtei an periyot gedola utana. He had two different tallies. You have lied. He read behind David's back. The Naharo David and the lower number, the one without Levi Binyamin, he showed David, Rilolo Hera Lo, and the larger number he didn't tell David. That's what said Mispar Mikada. He gave him the number of the census that he had officially counted. The way the Malbim reads it, understands this, perish. Sefer Shmuel, Mispar Shinatno El Amela. That the smaller number that we have in Shmuel is what he actually told the king, Shlo Pakdu, Levi Binyamin, where he didn't include the numbers from two of the tribes. He thinks maybe we'll get away from this Deborah problem by just not doing the count correctly. Sefer Divrei Yamim, Hodiah Ezra Sofer, but in Divrei Yamim, written 500 odd years later, as he's writing this, whatever his sources are, he's giving the actual number. I met you, Shloshmi Elf Yoter, 300,000 extra from Levi Binyamin. And that's why the number is different by Yehuda. Because a lot of Levi and Yehuda were living among Yehuda, and that's the extra 30,000. So there's some kind of politics going on behind the scene. We don't know what, but whatever the count is, it's not going right. Comes back to David. And then David realizes he's made a mistake. As soon as he gets this number, he says, "Vayachlev David Oto, Achrei Kein Sefarat Am," that David has a heart attack, literally. His heart attacks him. After he counts the people, "Vayarma David Hashem," David says to Hashem, "Chatati Ma'od, I've sinned, Asher Siti, this thing I did, Tashem Averna, Davon Abdacha, Niskalti Ma'od, please forgive my sin, because I was a fool. I was really stupid." Again, looking at Divrei Yamim, the parallel there explains why David regrets his decision. Because there's a pasuk between getting the number and David saying, Chatati Ma'od. It has a one-liner, Vayira b'nei Elokim ha-davar hazeh. Hashem was upset about this whole thing, Vayachat Yisrael. And he punishes Israel. The Bavim says, Shekvar hitchil ezeh choli ben ha'am, that something was going wrong in the people. We don't have the details of that. The actual plague won't happen until next time. And then another couple of psukim, but something starts going wrong after the census. David goes, I made a terrible mistake. And again, you know, we're not really blaming David because it says, by Yesod Hashem, Hashem made him do this. This is really a punishment for Bnei Israel, but David realized what he's done, even though he didn't necessarily have free will to do it. and he learns the mistake. Because later, at the end of his life, when he's actually going to start building the Mikdash, he's getting all the people together, he's starting to put the foundations in, he's getting everything ready for Shlomo to build it. He has another, not census, but an organization of all the people. But there, it's all names. It's one paragraph after another of names of people. Continues Bnei Israel, Misparam, Rashi Avot, Israel, Afim, Vamayot, Shatraim, and all the people, Lemisparam, literally according to their numbers, but as again, the Kabbalah said it, according to their stories, Mishtarim, Etamelach, everyone serving the king, Lachol Devar, Machlakot, in all their shifts that they're working, Habaav, Yatzet, Chodesh, Chodesh, they will come and go every month, Chokot, Jeshana, they were all organized, Machokot, Achat, Eskrim, Arvin Elach, and each division had 24,000. David Misparam, and David didn't count the numbers at this point. Then Esrim Shana Lamata for less than age 20, they just counted the ones they needed. Yamar Hashem, Harbot Yisrael, Chovei Shamayim, because Hashem had said that they will be as numerous as the stars. Again, this is after this sentence. They have learned this lesson. Yoav ben Tzruya Hechelim No, because Yoav had previously started the census before, but Kalah didn't finish it. And there was the anger on Israel from the previous census. So the count now, this is in the second time when he's organizing the people to build the Beit Midrash, he didn't write down the number. They knew who needed to do what, but they weren't going to write down numbers. They were not going to have a census here at all. And when that happens, Bnei Israel will fulfill their destiny. That's what Bnei Israel is supposed to be. Kachoy Shemayim. This is okay. He's not talking about the original census. It says, "V'yitam lisi ulam mikolamim, atem liyum mlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh." You need to be the chosen nation, a nation of kohanim. L'marsha kol echad mehem yelo chashivu b'fnei asmo. Every one of the Jewish people needs to have their own importance. The melech, the kohen, just like a kohen or the king, have their importance. In Shenemar, as it says, "Senyo Mar Ish Ish Ishu Adba," that Hashem will tell Tzion, will tell every person born there, "Uyuchanena Ayon," they will be set all above. "Ufizo Tavsimulah," so according to this destiny, "Emra God Kam Kain Bekochavim," they're compared to the stars. It's called "Uchulam B'Shem Yikra," "Erob Onim V'Amitzkoach Ish Lo Nadar." They're all called by name in their strength. None are missing. The Marashat Zetotam al Mispar Yishi, that when they come out on their individual, literally count, but they all have individual purpose. Yireki Mirov, or know that each one has their own strength. Baram Bitunosh, Lemut, Shishmeham, Nadarla, and Alumna, them will be missing. Everyone has their role. Yumet Chibaya Teiran Adalaham. They have this great love was shown to them. Zetam Nifla, Lamash, Yuskorakatu, Vakolachad, Bechad Kishmo. And that's why everyone had to have their own story, their own yichus, their own family. Mishpat Rishon, as it happened in the original count, because they all have the same worth. Each one has this different value than the other one. Everyone has their role. Just like the stars. They all have different places, but they all have equal worth. Everyone counts on their own. And they will get to that point, and they will be able to build the Beit Midrash. We're not there yet, and things are going to get worse before they get better, and we will stop here.
Thank you.
So that is the introduction to